What a comfort goes through our hearts. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Glorious morning when Jesus comes. When all the singers and all the redeemed will enter there and sing in honor of the Lord. What will that be? We will speak one language there. Brother Kupfer will no longer need to translate. Everyone will speak the language of Canaan. How marvelous! And imagine that will be soon. Soon. And by grace, we may be counted among those whom God has called out, on whom He has shown mercy. He has shown us love, so that we may come to Him. And because He loved us first, we too can love Him with all our hearts. I wish that this love for God could become as intimate in us as it was from Him to us. It is basically the same love. But imagine if this love of God could be as intimate from us to Him as it was from Him to us. What would be in our hearts and in our lives? The Lord says, by this the whole world will know that you are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. Pure, divine love that goes beyond everything human. I desire it. The Holy Scriptures say, the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. There are many who say they have received the Holy Spirit. But if this divine love is not the driving force, and if it is missing altogether, then even speaking in old and new tongues becomes a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Then it no longer carries any weight. You all know, if something sounds like that, then the vessel is empty. Only vessels, Holy Master, but filled with your power. As the song goes, I hope that you all feel comfortable, that you realize that you are welcome in this place. We are not the kind of people who give much about a framework of a church service, because we place the greatest value on the proclamation. But we are happy every time we see you all here again. As Brother Branham said, it has to be the right atmosphere. Everything has to match. The teaching, the life, in general everything that belongs to the church and the kingdom of God, that must agree with each other and with the Word of God and be in this divine harmony. We said it yesterday to the young people who were here. Our endeavor is to become a biblical church as it was in the early church. And we are honest enough to say that we haven't arrived there yet, that we are still on our way, but we are on our way, and we don't want to stand still spiritually, but to move forward with God's help until we have seen the final promise fulfilled. Nothing will remain unfulfilled of all that the Lord has promised us. We read and listened to all 37 verses of Psalm 37, and there were many a key phrase in it. You could certainly call it that. And you just have to marvel at the wisdom of God, at the all-encompassing, all-inclusive wisdom and care of God that takes every opportunity into account. Where would there be a question, a biblical question, that would not receive an answer from the Bible? God has provided for everything. He has thought of everything. It is important that we also take these words to heart. Trust in the Lord and do good. What a word! Again and again, condition and promise linked together. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Sometimes we can no longer see how to continue on our path. And then such a word of comfort. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We can believe all this from the bottom of our hearts and claim it for ourselves personally. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself, and so forth. We have read it together. I perhaps wanted to read two scriptures, but I wanted to send one before the two. It's from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 24, and perhaps up to 26. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Let's stop here for a moment. Paul knew that he had been placed in the service of God in the church, to have received a ministry, a task from God, but not by heart, but inwardly. And this is what the words mean to fulfill the word of God. God does all things according to His word. He has spoken everything into existence through His omnipotent word. He has ordered everything through His word. He spoke, and it came to pass. And all things that His mouth has spoken will remain forever. So it was the Lord, who being the Word, has become flesh. We are now the body of the Lord, the Church. The Word of God must be able to take shape in us. The promises must find their fulfillment. And as is expressed here, of which I have become a servant as a result of the stewardship entrusted to me by God in regard to you, to fulfill the word of God. I don't know if we can grasp and categorize all this at the moment, but it is just like that, that all things, including the Church, have already been laid down and established in the Word until its completion and rapture. I would like to follow on from this morning and give us a few words of admonition from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Here we are given guidelines from the mouth of the Lord as to what we should do and how we should behave. Matthew, chapter 18, from verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. This is not just a parable. It is a terribly serious word. And we realize, combined with divine love, what divine forgiveness looks like. Complete remission of guilt, being allowed to go out free. But we must also concede to one another that our brother can also go out free if he has been guilty against us, just as we can go out free who we are all guilty before the Lord. And here our Savior particularly emphasized this. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. We come to the Lord. We ask him for forgiveness. We accept it gratefully. And then what happens? Then we take hold of the one who may also be guilty of something, and then we take him by the throat. That's what it actually says here. I will read it again so that you know that it is written like this. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. You can see that this man had no understanding of God's love, of the cancellation of debt, of forgiveness. He didn't even know that he had been granted grace. Otherwise, he wouldn't have behaved like this with his fellow brother. Of course, one person won't literally go after the other, but that can sometimes happen. And I think there is a great lesson in this. I mean, it can happen that we hold a grudge against each other. And we absolutely must not, just as God has not imputed anything to us in Christ, but has basically forgiven all guilt. The debt of the one person was small compared to the debt of the other. There were 10,000 talents at stake. And here it was, what was it? 100 pence. You have to visualize that. What has been cancelled and forgiven to the one? And instead of being happy, jumping and leaping, he jumps at the throat of the other and says, "Listen, now it's your turn." Instead of being happy that he's been pardoned and his guilt has been cancelled, I don't know whether we think that the Lord is speaking to other people or whether we can believe that he is speaking to you and to me today through this word. Just as he spoke to his disciples and the crowds back then, he is speaking to us today. If we come to the point where a word of God no longer has anything to say to us and we pass it over, beloved, then the alarm level is already very high. May the time return when every word of God speaks to us and everything we read in the Bible should have something to say to us. In this way, we will also find a way to deal with God, how God deals with us, how we deal with our neighbor, and how our neighbor deals with us. Let us learn the lesson from this story that the Lord has left us here, that we do not only forgive 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. And that really is a lot. Who is able to do that? Only the one who has not been imputed, because he does not impute anything to his fellow friend and brother and fellow servant. This is true forgiveness, not imputing anything against a brother, not adding anything to his debt account from the outset, but simply passing on this forgiveness that God has granted us and practicing it in our lives. Of course, this means that we not only take to heart what is written in 2 Peter in chapter 1, but that we ask God to make it a divine reality in us. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3, "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." This verse is of the greatest importance. To escape from that which would drag us into corruption, to become partakers of the divine nature. And this is not something we can philosophize about. It is something we must experience and receive. Why does the man write in Acts, probably Luke, "We are the offspring of God"? Paul also mentioned it. If we have been born of God, then we must bear the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. Earthly children rarely take after other people, as the saying goes. Spiritually, God's children take after their Father. And our Father is in heaven, and we want the seed of the word to fall into us, and for the Spirit of God to bring this divine seed to life in us, so that we too can be partakers of the divine nature. Otherwise, our whole life will be filled with good intentions, and at the end of our good intentions will be ruin. We must have our experience, which must be thorough and deep with God, to become partakers of the divine nature. It goes on to say, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Even then, you cannot rest and say, it will be all right. No, then we have a deep desire within us that we have not only become partakers of the divine nature, but that all the qualities revealed in the life of Jesus can also be revealed in our lives. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. This is the register as it has been presented to us here, the qualities that belong to the spiritual, divine life in each individual believer. They must be present. First and foremost is faith, because without faith there is no step forward. But faith must not stand still. We must know that there is spiritual growth by the grace of God, and that no one can or should stop at one experience, but that we have to move forward. It says here, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Then it goes on and on. What is virtue? Basically, these are all divine qualities and virtues. Here, in virtue, knowledge. What use is knowledge that is not embedded in divine virtue? It inflates, and in the end, if you push against it a little, the balloon bursts. No, everything must be divinely right. To faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. This is also such a chapter. Self-control is not everyone's cup of tea either, but with God's grace and His help, this is also possible. We don't need to bring it with us. It is given to us by God. Imagine if we could already bring all these things to God, what should He then give us? I have nothing to bring. You are everything, O Lord, as the song goes. We come with what He doesn't need, and He takes it from us and throws it behind Him into the sea of forgetfulness. But then He gives us everything that will stand its ground before Him. To virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. and to self-control, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. You see, the one is embedded in the other, and all this simply belongs together. Then it is no longer an effort on our part, but love expresses itself, and the love of God will create all that is needed in each one of us. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. But now, in the next verse, comes the exhortation. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have seen the context. I really only have one wish and one request, that the Lord could lay it so heavily on all of our hearts and make it a direct prayer request, that we could come to Him and say, Lord, we want to be as you have said it here, but we are not yet, nor can we ever be of ourselves or attain these virtues. Lord, work something in me to the praise of your marvelous grace. May your word, your spirit, your blood be so powerfully effective in me, in us, that something new, something divine could actually come forth. Not just the knowledge of the things that are already known to us, but the one and the other are part of it. It is like an overall chain, and each chain is only as strong as the weakest link in the chain. Blessed is a church. Blessed is the individual, that every link in this divine chain could be strong enough to withstand any test. You all know how it sometimes goes in the earthly and also in the spiritual. The trials come, and we have said it often enough. Those who have not yet been caught by them will still get their turn. There are people for whom it seems as if the sun shines from evening to morning, and perhaps even from morning to evening, depending on which part of the world they live on. But that's deceptive. At some point, every person will be tested. At some point, everyone is purified. A person's life doesn't just go along bedded on roses. There are always a few thorns next to the beautiful roses, and you have to be careful. The fragrance is nice, but the thorn next to it is not quite so fine. Let's prepare ourselves for this. Those who have not yet had to pass the tests will still get their turn, one in this way and the other in that. Those who have not yet been humbled will be. Everything that God has planned for us will happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen without certain things, because nothing comes by itself. Even in trials, men of God have proved themselves to the end of their lives. Let's remember them, whether they were in the lion's den, or in the fiery furnace, or all the men of God, what trials they had to go through. And we know, they could say, even if our God does not preserve and deliver us, know this, Nebuchadnezzar, that what has been set up by human hands is not the living God whom we serve. It is an idol, and we will not bow down to it. It is clear that such a man then becomes angry. The furnace is made 7 times hotter, but God is also the God over the fire, and the fiery heat of the suffering we have to go through will only serve to purify us, so that we come out pure. You all know that when gold is refined, the dross is separated, and only that which has real value, that which can be used, remains. And our faith will be found more precious than gold refined in the fire. And it says in the last church age message, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. And the gold of God is certainly refined sevenfold. So let's take these things to heart. Firstly, that God's love for us has been revealed in the complete forgiveness, in the total cancellation of our guilt. The letter of ordinances has been torn. The middle wall of partition has been removed. Whoever has received forgiveness, pass it on. I have to think again about this last verse, which actually sounds like a judgment. Verse 35, we have already read it, but so that it doesn't slip from our hearts and memories, I'll read it again. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And he who has forgiven from the heart can continue to love from the heart. And those who can continue to love from the heart can also continue to forgive 7 times 7. You all know how it is with all of us. One time this one is rash, and then that one. It's always alternating. It's not always the same ones, although that's no consolation. But nevertheless, we know that we are still human and still on earth, and are sometimes still impressed by earthly things. We have to ignore all that. Here, in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, in Matthew chapter 6, from verse 12, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we really must take everything that God's Word tells us to heart and examine ourselves again and again. Lord, have we complied with all this? Can we stand our ground before you like this? Have we become partakers of the divine nature? As you know, our Lord came into human form, took on our body, so that we can pass over into the divine nature, and then with the resurrection receive the glorified body in which we will be with the Lord forever. May God grant us that what His Word says may be believed by all of us, so that it can accomplish what it was sent to do. Now this word again from Colossians 1, of which I have become a minister as a result of the stewardship entrusted to me by God in regard to you, to fulfill the word of God perfectly. The word of God is perfect. God has revealed it in a perfect way. Even if the revelations came little by little at first, if we put it all together today with the help of God, then we see before us the perfect revelation of God in Jesus Christ. We see before us the perfect revelation of His Word and His will. And in faith, we already see before us the manifestation of the children of God, of which it is written in Romans 8, that the whole creation groans and waits for the children of God to be manifested. We are already children of God, but this must be properly seen. It must be revealed. And you all know the word revelation is apocalypse. I don't know Greek, don't worry. I'll never learn it either. But it just means unveiling. Unveiling. Revelation, apocalypse, unveiling. Something that is revealed is unveiled. If the Bible were covered with this handkerchief, and you had to guess and puzzle over what was hidden underneath, the moment the unveiling comes, no one needs to puzzle or guess anymore. Then everyone will know what has come to light. Beloved, when Paul wrote at that time, driven by the Spirit, that the whole of creation is waiting for the day when the children of God, the sons of God, you all know what is meant by that, the perfect man coming to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, out of infancy, out of everything that no longer belongs to sucklings, but to be transformed into the image of the Lord, from clarity to clarity, and from truth to truth. If Paul had already written this back then, and how eagerly he awaited it, we may live in the time when it will most certainly be revealed. One thing is certain, 100% certain. Everything that has to happen will happen in this generation. But it is just as certain that nobody knows how long this generation will last. I want to say this very clearly and intentionally. Not that someone goes from here and starts to calculate and says, "Huh, this generation began in 1946 or 1948 or 1930 or 33. I am not interested in any of that. I am only interested in one thing. We are the generation in which Bible prophecy finds fulfillment. And our Lord said, when you see all these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption is drawing near." We have nothing to do with calculating. I am grateful that it was my worst subject at school. And then there are some people who think I'm good at maths. Well, that's just for amusement's sake. Our God means so well with us that we can hardly comprehend it, let alone grasp it. And He will ensure that in the end, a glorious word bride filled with the Spirit of God will have been transformed into the image of our Lord, who will be led out to meet the bridegroom as an adorned bride, or rather be caught up into the clouds of heaven. I don't know if we still need someone to go ahead of us, to lead us. Our Lord, who has come down to redeem us, has spoken these words, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He also said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He will come again. He will come soon. With these words, we should and may comfort one another. Let us use the time that is still left to draw closer to the Lord, so that we may be prepared, and when the Lord comes, really no longer be held back by anything on this earth, but be detached, as the songwriter sings, "From the earth, tear me loose, make my faith great, give me a faithful mind, take all of me, my Jesus." May God use the last message He gave not only to call us out, but to give us everything that has been promised in this word. And may the Spirit make the word a living reality. Christ in us will then be the hope of glory, full salvation, complete forgiveness, united with God, receiving eternal life, belonging to Him forever. But let me close with this. May the love that God had for us, that impelled Him to redeem us, be in all of us toward Him and also toward one another. If this divine love is in us, then you know what is written in 1 Corinthians 13. You can use it to test whether you have it or not. For this is the practice that is listed there. God wants to give us everything by grace. May His name be praised and highly exalted. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord with all our heart for every one of His words, for every promise, for everything. And let us do this in faith. We will also bring our prayer requests once again to the Lord, who is able to do all things. There is nothing that He cannot do. And we have also heard that we have access by faith and that all things are possible. Heavenly Father, I thank You from the bottom of my heart that we are allowed to gather before Your face. Our gaze goes to the dust from which we have been taken, but in faith we look up to You, where we will be, will soon be. Lord, I see my coming short, and we all see our coming short. Faithful Master, if we could have helped ourselves, we would not need Your help. If we could have saved ourselves, You would not have needed to come. Faithful Lord, we are helpless and weak. We are dependent on You, but we believe what You tell us in Your word. I have redeemed You and called You by Your name. You are mine. Hallelujah. Praise and honor to Your wonderful and glorious name, faithful God. As You have forgiven us completely and totally in Christ Jesus, so we forgive one another completely and totally and remember the trespass no more. For You have forgotten everything. Yes, You have cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. We cannot grasp it, O God. Your love is so great and so precious. Thank You that we know we are loved by You. Yes, we have tasted Your love. We have received it. Faithful God in heaven, may it soon be revealed that Your love has been poured out in all of us through the Spirit. Faithful Lord, You are able to do it. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to Your wonderful and holy name. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen. Amen.